Time to talk to Stuart Mandel, Fox Sports, Fox Sports 1. Follow him on the tweet machine at SL Mandel. Stuart, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Doing good.
Doing awesome. The NFL draft is kind of the close of the NFL season and offseason for me. Now we enter that long, dark period where we just have to wait. Spring football's over, and everybody got drafted and picked up as free agents, and now we wait until the season starts. And there are obviously some really remarkable stories that came out of the draft, no more so than Laremy Tunsil and his fall and then the comments he made after getting drafted. What's the long-term fallout for him individually, but more importantly for Ole Miss's football program from this?
Yeah, the fallout for him happened on draft night. I mean, it was humiliating. He lost a lot of money probably, but in the NFL, all they care about is how you play. So if he goes to the NFL and he dominates like a lot of people thought he could, I think people will stop associating him with what happened on draft night pretty quickly. But for Ole Miss, it's a pretty big deal because they were already under investigation with the NCAA. They'd already, in fact, gotten a notice of allegations for some violations. They weren't just football, but football is in there, and Tunsil was involved in it. So that's why he was suspended last year. So in a case like this, if there's something there, I mean, the NCAA is going to reopen it, I would think. They're going to want to see coaches' cell phone records and computers and, you know, trace down that chain, that text chain. And, you know, it's just so bizarre that it came about in the way that it did, where somebody was clearly out to get Laremy Tunsil, and it could have, you know, bigger consequences for the Ole Miss program.
What's been interesting for me is that, obviously, the gas mask bong video got a ton of reaction, just tons of it, and a lot of conversation. And then secondarily was him kind of going, oh, yeah, and also I have to say that I did take money from my coaches.
Yeah.
When it should be.
As a college follower, that was obviously much more interesting to me.
Yeah, I was like, wait. Okay, newsflash, college athletes sometimes smoke weed. What about the other thing? Why are we not talking about that as much?
It was an interesting window into, I'm just fascinated to find out what that was all about, but it's an interesting window into the side of college athletics that people don't see. You know, look, there's a lot of people who, if that was really what was happening, if he was asking for money for an electric bill, people are going to say, like, in college football, these programs make so much money, of course they should help out with that. But it is obviously against the rules right now. And I think that stuff goes on a lot more than people realize. And it would be interesting if they end up connecting this to something bigger there. You know, there's also the alternative scenario, which is that they'll have some sort of legitimate explanation for all that. But if they did, I kind of think that would have happened already. They would have come out the next day and clarified it. The fact that they haven't tells me that there's some questions that need to be answered.
Now, we know we're not naive enough to think this doesn't go anywhere, covering the University of Utah. I mean, well, we cover athletics. We know that things like this do go on in college football programs, and 99% of the time it stays buried, hidden underground. But what is this going to do for Ole Miss, and what is this going to do with their program, and what is the NCAA going to do in terms of coming after them? Is this going to force them to dig a little bit deeper into the program because you had a player who was so, I guess, forthright and saying, yeah, I did take some money?
Yeah, it's now, Laremy Tunsil is probably not going to cooperate with the NCAA if they want to ask him questions. He doesn't have to. But the other people that were the guy he was texting with, the guy he mentioned in there, they would have to cooperate. I'm not suggesting that, like, some SMU-type scandal is about to hit Ole Miss. Just that if this had been a completely isolated thing, if the school wasn't under investigation already, probably, you know, they report a secondary violation and everything kind of, it doesn't turn out to be anything major. But if it's a program where there's already an open case and there's already going to be, major violations, then, yeah, the NCAA can use this as an excuse to say, we're going to reopen the case and we're going to start asking more questions. Because, honestly, that's all they're looking for. The NCAA can't, right, they can't police 120 different teams all the time. But if somebody drops a hint that something's wrong like that, then obviously that gives them an excuse to look into it.
Ohio State had three guys taken in the top 10, got just a whole slew of players drafted over the course of seven rounds. Obviously, it's not the same as winning a national championship, but, man, that's a strong selling point for a program that's chasing after 4- and 5-star athletes. At the end of the day, is having all those draft picks on your resume almost as important as winning the big prize at the end of the actual college football season?
Yeah, I think so, because the caliber of recruits that Ohio State's going after, they all obviously coming out of high school think they're going to play in the NFL. And they want to go to a program that they know will put them in a position to do that. And it's not like Ohio State hasn't done that before, obviously. There's any number of players they could have appointed to. But when it's something like that, and they're the kind of the talk of the draft, I mean, given your Florida State was that team a couple years before, you know, I mean, in fact, if you follow any of their coaches on Twitter, you've already seen them. They're printing up those posters, and they're making sure that every single kid they're recruiting knows where those players get drafted, how much money they're going to make, and all that stuff. So, you know, that's a big moment for his program, for Urban Meyer's program, no question about it. I think in hindsight, he's got to be pretty glad that they did win the national title. If you get all those players drafted and no ring, then the narrative would be they underachieved.
Were there any college football players this year that you were surprised didn't get drafted?
That didn't get drafted?
Yeah, didn't get drafted.
Yeah, sure. Trevon Boykin, for one. I understand he's not a conventional quarterback, but I always find it hard to fathom how a guy can put up that great a stat and is not drafted at all. You know, maybe it was a lower pick draft pick, sure, but not drafted at all. That's really surprising to me. Off the top of my head, there's not any other obvious ones. I mean, there's some guys that snuck in at the very end that I would have been surprised. Like, if Scooby Wright had gone undrafted, again, there's an example of a guy who he was overlooked as a recruit. He goes out and he produces, and now he's being overlooked going into the NFL. But the late seventh round had a few guys like that, that if they had gone undrafted, that would have been a pretty big deal. They did make it in just under the wire.
Locally, some people were surprised that Devontae Booker fell all the way into the fifth round when certain draft analysts had him as maybe even the second best overall running back. We know that the position has been devalued in the last few years, but were you surprised to see a guy who was so productive at the Pac-12 level and a good pass catcher out of the backfield to see him fall as far as he did?
Yeah, there's you know, two ways of looking at it, obviously. The fact that he was such a great pass catcher, I thought, would separate himself a little bit from some of the other running backs, not Ezekiel Elliott necessarily, but some of the other guys that went right after that. But at the same time, he's coming off a major injury, and he's, you know, a little bit older than the other kids, the other guys that are coming out at his position. And I wonder if those two factors, along with the fact that he was a workhorse at Utah, I think the team sometimes get a little, I mean, look at what happened with Derrick Henry, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, but I think there was some hesitation that he, you know, running backs have such a short shelf life to begin with, and that he was worked pretty hard in college. It's a tough position to try to enter the league from now because they have devalued it so much. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, those guys are the exception. Fournette will obviously go very high next year. But other than that, they don't seem to put much of a premium on that position. If anything, there's a lot of a reluctance to invest a lot of money in a guy who may only play that position in the NFL for a couple of years.
Transitioning to the 2016 college football season, I know we're still a little less than 4 months away, but let's start out west with the Pac-12 and Stanford and Christian McCaffrey. If he's able to duplicate what he did last season in having one of the greatest seasons in college football history, I mean, where does he go down in the all-time? Where does his season last year go down in the all-time annals of college football? And if he were to duplicate that, where would he fit in terms of the all-time great college football players?
Yeah, that's a lot to try to comprehend right now. It was one of the great all-time seasons last year. I do think it's a shame he didn't win the Heisman. I think that when a guy does something like that, inevitably it's hard to live up to the expectations the next year. And so I think he can, you know, if he's healthy, he'll have a great year. I don't think he'll necessarily put up those kind of numbers. And I don't necessarily think Stanford wants him to. I think ideally you would want to spread the load a little bit. And they've got this guy who's a sophomore, Bryce Love. He is so fast. I mean, he's the fastest guy on their team for sure. I've seen him in scrimmages, and then he had some big plays kind of sporadically. And I would think that David Shaw's plan would be to get him involved more, take a little bit of the between the tackles load off of McCaffrey and let him do, but still let him obviously return all the punts, be a weapon out in space, and just, you know, do what he does best. But that doesn't mean that he could have a better season than he had last year from a performance standpoint, and that necessarily put up the same numbers.
If he doesn't put up at least that level of production, are people going to – is that going to preclude him from being a Heisman Trophy winner?
Possibly. It's so hard to to, I mean, how often does the guy who's, Mariota is the only one recently who was the preseason favorite and won the trophy. Andrew Luck, you know, lost one game his last year, and that was enough to cost him the Heisman. And it's also tied so much to team performance. And Stanford won the Pac-12 last season, won 11 games, and it still wasn't quite enough. And so in addition to asking, can McCaffrey duplicate his production, you have to ask, is Stanford going to win the Pac-12 again? Because if they don't, if Washington or Washington State or Oregon wins the division, then that's probably going to doom him as well.
Who do you think wins the Pac-12 next season, or at least going in, who's the favorite?
It's we've been talking about that. I'm here at the Big 12 and Pac-12 meetings. There's some other Pac-12 media here. And we were talking about that, just kind of preliminary thoughts. I think that it's a year where there isn't an overwhelming favorite, and in fact, when the preseason polls come out, I don't know that there'll be many Pac-12 teams ranked that highly. I think you'll see a bunch of them ranked in the teens and the 20s. Maybe, you know, I think Stanford will probably start out the highest, and they'll probably be around 10th, you know, something like that. The questions about who their new quarterback will be, big reason for that. I guess I would put them as a slight favorite going into the season, but I think those four teams I mentioned in the North would all win it. I don't know what's going to happen in the South. The South is very wide open to me. I haven't begun to think about who I would pick to win that division.
That's Stuart Mandel, covers college football and college basketball for Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1, one of the encyclopedias of college sports knowledge that we like to tap into every once in a while here on the program. Obviously, we'll be talking to you as the season approaches. Appreciate you taking the time today, Stuart.
Thanks, Stuart.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.